97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
And I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Wow, what a great show so far. I've really had a lot of fun. Joining us now is someone with hotair.com. You can also check out his podcast, Dwayne's World, his blog, That Way Too, producer of The Hugh Hewitt Show, Dwayne Patterson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, that was a great intro, Ryan. We've had a great show thus far, and now we're going to Hot Air Sky. That was kind of fun.
If you can just bear with us for another 10 minutes, I swear it'll get better.
Exactly, no, exactly.
Okay, I wanted to throw at you headlines, and I want you to tell me what, in the order you think they are, should be ranked in importance.
Okay.
Ozzy Osbourne passes away. Hulk Hogan passes away. Department of Justice getting the Obama files.
Yeah.
You have the Epstein controversy and perhaps Maxwell singing like a canary. I think that was what some people are mentioning. So the further of that. So of those four stories, how would you rank them?
Now, you preface it by what should be important, right? Or what is.
What should be important.
Okay, what should be
the order?
What should be is the referral to the DOJ. That should be number one.
Okay, number one.
Number two, I would say culturally, Hulk Hogan had a bigger influence than Ozzy Osbourne did, although Ozzy Osbourne certainly had his following as well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, my gracious, how many kids had little Hulkamaniac dolls when they were growing up as kids? I mean, Hulk was around for several decades. I would put probably Hulk 2, Ozzy 3, and the Epstein stuff fourth.
Okay.
And the reason I put the Epstein thing fourth out of those four is because, honestly, I mean, just nobody has been able to make the credible case to me that a Merrick Garland Department of Justice willing to interact with state prosecution and special counsels throwing everything they could at Donald Trump to lock him up, indict him, arrest him, mugshot him, raid Mar-a-Lago, go through Melania's panty drawer. I mean, everything they could throw at him, they threw at him. And you're telling me that if there was some secret thing on a file somewhere that they could cherry pick and isolate of Donald Trump being a problem with Jeffrey Epstein, they wouldn't have released that somewhere along the way? It just defies credulity to believe that. So if there was a there, I think it would have been out by now.
Okay. Well, let's talk about those files then. And you have Tulsi Gabbard coming out and saying, how about we refer this for a further investigation? In fact, you have other senators that want to see this really escalated quite quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get a task force. Okay. You know, there is some immunity for Barack Obama. Is this just basically a way to show you that Donald Trump is vindicated? He was right all along. Is this a way to embarrass him? Is this a way to hurt the Democratic Party? What do you think the outcome in the most likely scenario would be if they continue to investigate this?
Oh, the most likely scenario is John Brennan's probably going to be the guy that is in the most legal jeopardy, I would think. Do I think that Bill and Hillary Clinton are going to be frog marched or Barack Obama or anybody like that? No, I am under no delusion that this is going to be one of those moments where, you know, you can say, oh, finally, justice. I'm not that naive, but people like James Brennan, he is. How did I see it phrased on Fox earlier today? I think it was said on Fox today that he's the equivalent of a 30-point buck out in the open. He's a pretty big fish, and he has no immunity. And he certainly wasn't, he didn't get one of those auto pen pardons. So he's a sitting duck right now.
I tend to agree with that too. I think that. And
John Brennan, by the way, let's keep in mind the kind of character that John Brennan is. If you're talking about the intelligence community of the United States over the last couple of decades, John Brennan is like the Nosferatu of intel assets.
Mm. What about, I guess, going in to the direction of the people around him and at least finding some truth of what went on in that 2016 election? Here's what I would say. More times than not, Donald Trump is found to be telling the truth when they call him a liar. And the things that he say are real and what's happening tend to be vindicated down the line. However, he doesn't get the credit for it, nor does the media go and correct themselves. So I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt on a lot of these different stories. But when it comes to stories like Jeffrey Epstein and the gravity of the nature of what's surrounding him, it gets a little bit more trickier. But I think the biggest piece of evidence is what you brought up. There's no way Democrats would have sat on that information if it was real. There's no chance.
I mean, you were alive and sentient during the 24 campaign cycle. If there was anything that they could have thrown at Donald Trump, do you think that they would have had any filter whatsoever? And the they I'm talking about is either the Biden camp, the Kamala Harris camp, or our friends in resistance media. Do you think if they could have cherry-picked, even if they could have invented using AI, some image of Donald Trump doing something nefarious, you think they wouldn't have stooped to that level if there was any basis to it whatsoever?
Yeah, no, they would have, for sure. Dwayne Patterson is joining us here, hotair.com, host of Dwayne's World Podcast, producer of the Hugh Hewitt Show. I can't remember the last time we spoke. It's probably been a month plus, but the last time we spoke, you said something really nice about me on your blog, so I really appreciate that. I appreciate that. I want to tell you, I saw it. And it made my day. I did a quick little, sometimes I search to see, like, okay, I'm just going to search my name real quick. And it popped up on your blog and you said nice things. So Dwayne, thank you.
I have always found that in our business, there's just no reason, there's really no reason to make enemies unless they're people that are actually harming the country. And then I've got a problem with it. When you're burying stories intentionally, as our friend Iowa Hawk blog would say, if you're trying to cover stories with a pillow until they quit moving, then you're not really doing your job right. But I like to give people in our business the benefit of the doubt, unless they're part of the Borg or the blob back east that's trying to play favorites. Yeah.
Yep. All right. I want to read you a headline. This is from Axios. President Trump said on Thursday that he wanted to see Elon Musk's companies thrive one day after the White House said he didn't want Musk's AI to get government contracts. So, okay, it's a little bit complicated, but it's been a little bit rocky. It looks like that's a step in the maybe they can reconcile things a little bit down the line. Do you ever think Donald Trump and Jerome Powell will ever see eye to eye or ever reconcile? Or is it pretty much dead man walking at this point for Jerome Powell?
Well, you see, that's the kind of fascinating thing about this. It was like a Godfather trip, wasn't it? When Donald Trump went over to the Fed, you know, it was almost like he had cotton in the jowls, right? And he starts walking around with the helmet on, saying, oh, you know, I like these construction sites. Now, let me give you just a real quick history of Donald Trump. The first time that we interviewed Donald Trump on the Hugh Hewitt Show, was back in probably 2012, 2013, well before he came down the escalator. Donald Trump was approached at one point, or his construction company, Trump whatever, was in the market to maybe pick up a refurbishing contract for the United Nations building in Lower Manhattan. And they chose not to go with his company, and instead they picked some sweetheart contractor that they were getting kickbacks from, and of course it went way over budget, and it was a rotten job, and they had all sorts of problems with it. And the House brought Donald Trump to testify on the UN disaster because it was like, you know, a billion something over budget. And Donald Trump was this is when we got to know who Donald Trump was, and he knows a thing or two about real estate and how to build buildings, right? I mean, that's, you can say that Donald Trump doesn't know a lot about certain things, even though he tends to turn out that he knows more than you think he does. He knows about real estate, and he knows how to build buildings. And he went on a tirade in this House testimony, and at the end, he says, good luck, fellas, you got a real mess on your hands. And when we heard that, I'm thinking, okay, so he's going to go under the auspices of checking out this refurbishing project. That's, again, way over budget. And he brings the media with him. The media gaggle follows him around. He's got his helmet on. And Jerome Powell's right next to him. And he fields a reporter's question who says, so what would you do if your project manager was $1 billion over budget? And Trump says, I'd fire him right next to Jerome Powell. And Powell had the look in his face like he was looking for the Rolaids. He was looking for the Pistons at that point. Now,
that's right.
So you've got that whole thing going on as the auspices of why he came to visit. You know they had a little one-on-one time where Donald Trump said, so, about these interest rates, right?
Yes.
And you know they had that personal that personal conversation. And at the end, he tells the media, I'm sure Jerome Powell is going to do the right thing. I know he knows how important it is to get. So you, and then of course the reporter's saying, "Well, this trip over here, are you pressuring him?" Oh no, I'm not pressuring him at all. I'm just checking out the building. Of course, he went over there and said, "Look, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. Can they reconcile?" I think if Jerome Powell and the Fed board lowers rates for the next two meetings and lowers it substantially enough to not get in Trump's way, Trump might say, hey, you know, Powell's doing a good job lately. I could see Trump pivoting on a dime if he gets what he wants.
Okay. Well, going back to the Hugh Hewitt show, and you had Donald Trump as a guest, does that mean you have Donald Trump's phone number?
Actually, we do.
Okay. You know,
no, you can't have.
No, I wasn't going to ask, but I heard a story that after he won the 2016 election, he was doing all these interviews, of course, with media, and there was I think it was in Atlanta, he did a radio show interview, and they're like, you know what, it's the day after he won the election, let's just call the number and see if he answers. And how about that, Donald Trump answered after he gave his like big victory speech, and I thought, oh, that's so interesting, he keeps the same phone number. And I always am fascinated at the idea that you can have a president of the United States saved in your contacts.
Well, and again, it's juxtapose that with the previous occupant of 1600 and how inaccessible he was. Even his own donors couldn't get him on the phone. You know, Joe Biden was in a bubble because he was basically a walking vegetable. And Donald Trump is, you can say a lot of things, good and bad, about him if that's your predisposition. But the guy is transparent, and the guy will take any questions. He has spent more minutes answering media questions in 6 months than Barack Obama and Joe Biden did in 12 years combined. He sometimes does four different press avails a day. It's astounding what he actually does. You mentioned having the president's number. A lot of most journals in D.C. actually have his phone number. When we saw yesterday, CNN try to change the narrative from the Tulsi Gabbard Russiagate expose. They cut away from Tulsi Gabbard. And they're like, no, but Epstein. They went all day. We got to make Epstein the story. That's the most important thing because we found pictures of Epstein at Donald Trump's wedding 22 years ago. That's what everybody cares about. Andrew Kaczynski, who does the K-File, was on, and he said, I called the president. I've got his phone number. I called him. And how'd that conversation go, Andrew? It went for about 30 seconds. He answered. And I told him what I was doing and what the story was, and I wanted to know if he wanted to comment on all these Epstein revelations. And the president says, you've got to be kidding me, and hung up on him. But he answered the phone. He answered the call.
This is one of those, going back to the vindication side, every time this comes up, when we learn about and documents become sort of public and we get to see behind the Epstein thing, what we find is that people try to draw Donald Trump into it, which is really fascinating, because you hear some of the testimonies in the transcripts from the victims, and the people that are doing these sort of depositions are saying, so tell me when you saw Trump there. And they'll say, no, we never saw Trump there, but you certainly saw him at the airport. Oh, you saw him on the plane. But they tried to inject in there, and all of them said no, 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 no to him. And then they put up this big document dump, and his hotel was mentioned, Trump Hotel. So, oh, you can Google search and see Trump's names in the transcript when they're mentioning his hotel, but it doesn't say anything about him as a participant in any of this perverted stuff. So I tend to hear these type of stories and dismiss them pretty quickly.
Well, and I do too, because lost in the media's portrayal or attempted portrayal to sling the mud is they don't report the fact that Donald Trump didn't like Epstein much and threw him out of his club. Threw him out of. I mean, he went along with him because he was kind of a player back in the 90s. And once he kind of figured out, you know, this guy's kind of a creepy guy, I don't want to have anything to do with him, he booted him out. Okay, Bill Clinton didn't do that.
No, he did not. In fact, quite the opposite, actually. Dwayne Patterson, if people want to look you up online, where can they go?
DwayneWorld.com, D-U-A-N-E, world.com. And
there you are. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time here today. I always enjoy the conversation.
You got it. Thanks, Ryan.
And joining us after the break, Billboard Chris, big announcement. Kaiser Permanente is announcing that they're going to stop gender surgery on minors. And I think Billboard Chris would have something to say about that coming up, too. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.